All the elders I grew up with blessed my life, but they're gone. And I miss them. I wish I could go back and just sit back and enjoy hearing the shouts that I heard back then. I wish I could go back to where I just got to enjoy the feeling. But if I went back there to where I only felt I was unprepared for what was ahead of me in my life. Honey, this is more than just a feeling. It's more than just goosebumps. It's more than just a little tingle. It is more than just a little bit of wind that hits your neck. This is a lifestyle changer. This is a daily conversation changer. This is an attitude adjuster. This is the very thing that calls the children of God to be more responsible for what they've been blessed to use. Turn with me in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. You are what the lost sees. They're not coming just to see the preacher. We're lucky to get one to two a week here at this church. But when you're out there in the world and your family looks at you, when you're out in the world and your co-workers are looking at you, seeing what you're going to do, that is the light that God shines through you. And he said he would not have you to hide it behind a bushel. He would not have you to put it in a place that cannot be seen. But he would have you to shine. He would have you to shine. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel," verse 15, "but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord gave me this thought. A Christian's righteous life, pleasant attitude and good works, including pure conversation and faithful obedience, should not be hidden, but be seen and be known. That means we can't just feel good tonight and not have something to show for it tomorrow. That means we can't just shout tonight and have nothing to give in the morning. There's something that God has for you to give tomorrow. There are lost souls that are your responsibility to reach out to. Whether you're at the meat aisle at Walmart, whether you're at the bank at the teller, God has made you to be someone that has pleasant conversation in their mouth. He has made you to be somebody that has a good attitude. He has made you to be somebody that will pick up those that are weak and bless them. He has called you to be something different than the world is. You're not the same as they are. They don't have the gifts and callings that God has given us. So when they need a blessing, they fight for it with all they've got, but come up short. I couldn't tell you how many times I tried to get my own life back together when I was ready to quit dope, but I could not do it by myself. It had to take a substance that came from the gifts that somebody operated in. I needed to hear a little bit of prophecy to turn my life around. I needed to hear the speaking in tongues to turn my life around. There had to be somebody discern something to even know that I was in desperate need of help. So then neither, verse 7, is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? One. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his or her own labor. Some of you might be in that figurative bedroom where I was when I was 15. You're just waiting on the next big blessing to come and don't want to do nothing to get it. But God sent me here with this very peculiar message. Listen, I didn't come with this tonight. I sought the Lord for something different. He gave me this instead, Brother Ray. Because there comes a point where we have to stop looking for something to happen and begin to do something about it. There comes a moment in time where you finally have to put your feet down on the foundation that Jesus has given you and take authority over the devil that would seemingly try to destroy you. Don't you dare depend on anybody for your salvation, because he already gave it to you to have anyway. Don't depend on anything. Oh, other than the Lord to take care of you. Because one day you'll want your cereal
And it ain't going to be there. Pardon my southern. It ain't going to be there. One day you'll yell, Mama! It ain't going to be there. One day you're going to look for somebody to help you with your bills, and they're not going to be there. One day you're going to look for another open door, and nobody's encouraging you and saying, hold on, hold on, it's coming, it's coming. One day you're going to be looking for the next blessing, maybe something that's even bigger than you are or bigger than what you can do. And the best recommendation that I can tell you to do is to become dependent on Jesus Christ as your foundation, like a tree would depend on the water that it stands on. For without it, it would perish. And without Jesus in your life, you'll never make it. Without Him as your Savior, you'll never survive. And when the end of days comes and He calls in the day of judgment, you'll not be ready and find your home to be in hell. Friends, I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to go there. And I love you enough tonight to tell you it's time to get up out of the bed. It's time to get off the couch and to get down on our knees and to begin the fight in a brand new way. It's time to begin to do the good works that God has given us to do. It's time for us to become a generation that's not just going to depend on somebody else to bring it our way, but something in us that'll cause us to fight once again. We're losing our fight. You want to know how? People want services to be shorter. People don't want to go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night. They don't want Wednesday night services or Fridays here. They just want a Wednesday night Bible study because that'll keep it down to an hour. We don't want a program that'll keep our kids there at church past 9 o'clock because I've got to get them in bed for school. We don't want the preacher to preach beyond 30 minutes. Doesn't he know an average attention span's only 18? We don't want a person up there evangelizing, talking about all the issues today. We just want to hear about how we're loved and how if we just sit here long enough, we'll get the things that we desire. But I didn't grow up to not learn anything, and I didn't grow up to work not to reap that which I labored for. And the Lord says to somebody tonight, if you'll be willing to get out there and begin to do the work that God has called you to do, then you're gonna benefit from the fruits of your labor. I feel the Holy Ghost so strong. Devil, get out of this place right now. There's a day coming when you're gonna have to get to the plow and not look back. There's a day coming when you're going to have to take a stand. The preacher won't be there to save you, but the Lord said, if you'll believe by faith, I'll draw nigh unto you. For we are laborers. I want to bring emphasis to this word. Together. We're laborers. Together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building or temple. You're His temple. He has made you to be a temple. Because when Jesus died, the temple had no more value. This building don't have any value. The next building we're going into don't have any value. But what God has established in you is more than enough to handle the job at hand. I remember when I was a kid, I loved running up the stairs. And I'd skip a couple on the way up. I was zealous. I was excited. And when the parents weren't home, we'd get a mattress and lay it out on the stairs and ride it all the way back down. Oh, yeah. Maybe they hadn't heard that one before. I'm getting the sour look right now. We'd ride it all the way back down. And, man, it was fun. But there was a couple times when I came to the bottom, it hurt. I've heard stories of people jumping off stairs and breaking their legs. If you try to do this in a hurry, you're going to miss out on the very thing that will keep you from harm. You don't ever eat a fruit before it's time. You know why? Because it's sour. It's bitter. You know what that tells me? A blessing that you're wanting, that you go after and get before it's time, will not satisfy you like it would have if you had waited until it ripened to perfection. Ergo, in God's time, He makes it known when it's time to go. If you wait until the fruit is already past its ripening stage, there begins to be bruises on the fruit. And then it attracts outside entities to come in and infiltrate inside of the fruit. How many of you have ever bit into an apple with a worm? How many of you have ever ate some corn that still had a bug on it? Green bean with a string. Piece of meat with a pink spot. You don't want to eat something that's not right. That's not made in good preparation. All good things work for the good. All good things work for the good. He said to seek you first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. Do you know what the kingdom of heaven is? It's that which is in you. And you know that which you are to bear from what you do in your works? Love, peace. We're going to get real right now. If you have no peace in your life, whether you've got what you want or not, then you're not doing the works that God has given you to overcome. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. That means whether your loved ones are here today or not, you can still have peace. Whether you're sick with cancer or not, you can have peace. Whether you are afflicted by dramatic experiences that's happened in this life, you can have peace. The gifts and callings of God are there no matter what. But it comes to a vessel who's dependent on Him. That's why He said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is what you're planted in. He's what your source is. Now, if any man build this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try, say try, it shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit dwelleth in you? For if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. It's holy. The power of life and death is in your every word. You might not think that doubt hurts anything, but doubt is the gateway to unbelief. You begin to doubt yourself, you're not going to get up there and sing again. You doubt yourself, you're not going to get up there and do another sermon. You're not going to get up and give a prophecy that God's give you. If you doubt what you have been given, then you are stunting your own growth. God cannot move in unbelief. If we're this way today, that way tomorrow, He can't bless you the way He could if you were believing in Him every day of your life. I want you to bear something that when you reach the end of it, it will sustain you. I feel like a broken record sometimes. And sometimes I feel like I bore people. Sometimes I get aggravated, wondering what it's going to take for change to really come in us. But until you have went all the way through and partook of a fruit that was ready when it was right, then you have not known the true taste of victory. My deliverance came for me and I was so thankful. But I still had a struggle when I first got delivered. I had to go day by day seeking the Lord for His help and His strength. But hours began to turn to days. And days began to turn to weeks. Weeks began to turn to months. And months began to turn to years. And every day that I have held on to Him, when it has been time for me to receive something that I needed in my time to be sustained, I found Him to sustain me. Church, I'm talking to you about your reality. And the reality of the matter is this. We all have something more we need to be doing. The reality of the matter is we all have a work and a calling to be doing. And you don't need to be ashamed of who you are anymore, because this is a place where you're allowed to be free. And if anybody has told you otherwise, let them be a liar. This is a place where you are able to worship freely. This is a place where you're able to operate in the gifts and callings of God. If you need to testify and nobody gives you the mic, run up here and get it anyway, because if God has anointed you to do it, nobody's going to get in your way anyway. He'll move in His order in His time. Amen. You know, when we first started out a few months ago, I saw a lot of twigs coming out of the ground. But you know what I'm seeing over the past few months? Brother Derek, I'm seeing growth in people's lives. And I'm beginning to see extensions break forth outside of the main trunk. We are the fruit of the vine. We are that depends on God. And as we let Him grow in us, something begins to happen. Something begins to form off of those limbs. Something begins to blossom. And at first, if you just get a very glimpse of hope, it causes us to hang on a little longer. If we just get a little bit of that side of the bud that's about to break forth, what a mighty blessing it is. It makes us go back out there and mow around that thing one more time. It causes us to pull all the weeds that's trying to corrupt it one more time. I'm here to tell somebody, don't you let the devil steal your fruit. God has called you to do this work. He's called you to be this person. He's called you to be this free. He's called you to be spiritual. He's called you to be anointed. And don't you dare quench the spirit, because when you do that, you're bringing more harm to you than you are to anybody. I want you to appreciate the fruits of your labor, because truly, depending on the appreciation of others is not what God told us to do. He wanted us to bask in the fruits of our labor. I've been through a few things now, and I can tell you that not all the things that I've been blessed with came easy. They didn't come quick, and they didn't come without a fight. But the few times that I was willing to try, I found Him to be there. I feel prophecy in my spirit. Those times when I finally got off the bed and knelt down, instead of just sitting there wondering what's going to happen, I felt God move. Those times that I stopped complaining and finally said, Lord, I give it to You. I felt Him move. The times when I didn't know the next step to take in my life with my family, I let Him have it, and He opened a door and He made a way. I'm talking to somebody right now. Don't be discouraged because of what you don't see yet. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Look for the coming of the fruit of your labor. Look for the buds begin to bloom in you. And when the enemy would press on you, you get rid of it. You'll grow up and be something strong in God. Let's finish this out. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him be a fool, that he may become wise. If they don't agree with you in the direction you're going, and you know God's led you there, if they tell you to go another way, leave them alone. It's not good counsel. Because in the end, the truth of God is always revealed. You know what I tell to people that are going through bitter divorces? You know what I tell to people that are going through hard times? Don't worry about what they're doing to you, but worry about what you're doing for Him. For if you'll worry about this, He'll take care of that. Don't get so set on looking at what's coming tomorrow. Don't live your life in fear of the things that you don't see happening yet. Don't worry about these things in the world, because if you're doing the best that you can by the truth of God's word, He said that everything that is done in darkness shall be revealed. And I'm telling you what, there's no worse a feeling than having the light come on when you're not ready for the light to show all the things that you've been doing wrong. And if you'll stand for the truth of God's word, when people come against you, one day the light will turn on in their situation and they'll be made to be a fool. You don't have to fight that battle. That's not even yours to fight. We don't fight against flesh and blood. You couldn't say enough to cause them to change their mind. You have to let God do it. Verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. That means He reveals what they even think they're tricking somebody in. That is powerful. That means if somebody's literally standing in your way of what you need, that what they're doing, they'll have to answer for, and you won't even have to fight a single fight about it. I felt that go out to somebody. Verse 20, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. In closing tonight, I leave you with this thought. Next time you go to pick something out at the produce, you think about what it took to get it there. The next time you hear somebody sing under the anointing of God, you think to yourself what it took for that to come. Next time you hear somebody preach that blesses you, you think about what they had to go through to bring that word to you. And the next time that you hear it and it blesses you, it'll cause you to start doing the work that you're called to do. Because he said that we were to what? Edify one another. Give each other something good and receive something in return. Reciprocity. What will you give for what you get? If Jesus has saved your soul, what will you give now for what he has given you? That which you have planted and desire for God to do. Do the good works of God. And he said all these other things shall be what? Added. That fruit will be added. And I found it to even be multiplied. He took a few fish, a couple loaves of bread, and fed thousands. He can take this church and save a community. Brother, we're under budget, understaffed. We don't even have a plan. He can do it. If he did it with Paul, the one that was a murderer of the church, then he can do it with you. I just had to present that reality to you. That if you're coming Sunday after Sunday and you're just waiting on that word to come and say, here it comes, God bless you, then you might be let down when it comes time for something to happen and nothing happens and it's too late and you're looking and you're doubting in yourself, you're doubting God, you're questioning everything that's going on, wondering why that I'm not receiving what I'm looking for. But when we jump too quick, how many of you remember those cars that you roll down the ramp that you used to race? Do you remember those? The soap derby cars, you remember those? When I was younger, I had them, and they'd put those nitrous things on the back, and you'd click it, and it'd go poof, and take off. When I was younger, we used to race those things, and I was so excited. I did so well. I got to make it to a tournament, and I got to the semifinals, Brother Matt, and I got trigger happy. I saw the timer coming up, 3, 2, poof. I didn't make it to go. I got disqualified. I was so sad about that. I was in sixth grade, I think, at the time. And I was so heartbroken. But if we try to go for something before God's time, it is literally more difficult than it should have ever been. The blessings of God are not a burden. The only burden is the work that you do to get there. I'm not someone that will ever bear children. And thank God that I'm not. Did you know that the human body tolerates up to 45 units of pain? But when a woman gives birth, it's 29 units more than 45. And the equivalent of that pain is like 20 bones being broke at the same time. Like you falling off of a building. Now imagine that, gentlemen. You think you could endure that pain? I don't think I want to, Derek. Ain't no way I want that. But when, only in Jesus. But when they reach the end of their labor, all the labor that got them to that point no longer has any significance because of what they're holding means so much more. I love seeing these babies in the house of God. If you wonder if they ever bother me, they don't bother me at all. I'd prefer that more of you get loud like they do. I'd prefer somebody shout instead of looking at them and letting them shout. If somebody else shout, they wouldn't look so silly. It don't bother me. He wants you to be more than a babe. He wants you to enjoy the labor. You know how you do that? You make it to the end. He said he was Alpha, right? He also said he was Omega. You know what that means? He's with you when you couldn't bear fruit. And he's there when you get to the end. Oh, I'm getting excited. This is the climactic point of the night. One day, all the labors that we've done in this world will finally be over. We'll finally draw our last breath, and it'll all be said and done. The eulogy they'll give, they'll list my family members and all that I've ever known. They'll list a few of my accomplishments, but miss most of them. And one day, they're going to look at the body and miss the soul that was in it. But one day, this soul's no longer going to be in this body. And the Jesus that I accepted when I needed a Savior is going to call me out to a greater glory, and I'll make heaven to be my home, and all the sorrow and sickness and everything that I had to labor for will all be behind me, and I'll be able to shout and worship in heaven one day. Oh, glory to God. One day there'll be nothing but worship and singing and praise, and I'll be to celebrate in the glory of God. How many of you heard that song? It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of these trials, it's going to be worth it if you'll fight for it. It's going to be worth it if you wait on it. He said, for those that would wait upon the Lord, that he shall renew their strength, and that they'll run and not faint. They won't grow weary, but they'll fly on the wings as eagles. Oh, I praise the Lord. Oh, I praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Had he not given water, there had been no fish. And had he not given wind, there'd be no fowls in the air. Had he not called trees to come up, you wouldn't have anything to eat. Had he not called animals to live, you wouldn't have anything to munch on. Had he not called mankind to be in this world, you wouldn't even be here today. But every single thing that depended on anything always comes back to the one that made it. And if God made you in his image, then he already made everything good in you that you need. And that tells me you've got the work in you. You've just got to get to work. Go ahead and stand with us tonight. Stretch out, shout. Thank God he's done. It's time that we get more busy for the Lord. Well, how, brother? It's good to dance when you're at church, but I'm talking about when you get home tonight. I'm sending out a challenge to all of you. Before you go to bed, you say a prayer to the Lord, a sincere prayer, and let him give you strength for tomorrow. I'm challenging you to get up in the morning and pray to the Lord. Well, brother, I don't even brush my teeth yet. Lord, don't care about your breath. Get down and pray before you get too busy. Because when you do, you know what's happening? Buds are springing forth. The more that you'll do, the more that can spring out of you. He talked about the Spirit like rivers, because rivers had motion. He talked about the Spirit like an oil, because it was a healer unto people. He wants the Spirit to move in you. You stand upon your foundation of Christ. You cultivate the Spirit that's in you. You do the works the Spirit has called you to do. And guess what? You'll begin to get something off your own tree. Because this isn't Walmart. There's no BOGOs, no Black Friday specials here. You've got to learn to get to work. Because there's a praise for you to enjoy. There's a tear for you to enjoy. There's more for you. You just have to accept it. It's already in you. It's already in you. If they'll come and get one song tonight, I'm opening the altar, and I want you to know that if you're in need, God will move for you. I'm so glad that you are all here. But even if you forget me, I want you to go out of here and remind yourself, I've got to get to work. Well, brother, I'm sure that I'll stumble this week. Don't doubt yourself that hard. Give God a chance to help you. And if something's too much for you, grace will pick you back up again and let you try it again. It'll help you to grow and be somebody stronger than who you were before. I wouldn't stand up here and preach to you like the man I was back then. If I never did any labor and still in my mama's house getting cereal, would you respect me if I told you to get to work? I work hard, and I enjoy every little bit that I get from it. And I work hard here, whether you want to agree with that or not. Every sermon I give, I study 7 to 8 hours of time per sermon. Don't tell me I don't work hard. I study for it. I'm hungry for it. I want the blessings of God, but more than that, I want somebody to be saved. I want somebody to be delivered. Amen. And most of all, I want to shine so that others can see God in me. Amen. As they sing tonight, if God is ministering to your heart, this is the time to come. He will help you.